Shus Marino Harav Shlita. Nosy or nosy neighbours is the topic. Although there may be other activities which your neighbours are doing which might not be nosy or noisy, but might be bothering you in some other way, such as smoke or vibration or dust. We will deal in general with all of those. Well, how does he rightly suggest it to me this morning? Ma tovu arecha Yaakov, mishkano secha Yisrael. The first words we say when we come into shul in the morning are in fact the words of a Rasha, the Rasha Bidon, who when he saw the tents of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, he was so impressed that, says Rashi, that the door of one did not look towards the door of another, that each maintained their own individual privacy. He was so impressed by that that he gave the bracha instead of a klola of Ma Tovu Aholecho Yaakov. How wonderful are your tents, O Jacob, Mishkano Secho Yisrael. We know from this there is a din called Hezek Re'iyah, damage or injury caused simply by looking into the privacy of your neighbour, and that you are entitled to prevent that by means of, say, a din Torah and a bezdin, if your neighbour does something which infringes your privacy. What I can refer to in a small way today is also my professional experience in dealing with planning permissions and the modern legal context, and comparing them in some way, because I was fascinated to discover that there are various loopholes in English law which could well be overcome if we would apply the Jewish law. And that the English, however advanced they may think, that they brought out various laws in the 20th century, the rules that we have are from Matan Torah itself. We'll start with the handouts that you've got in front of you, and we will read from a Gemara in Baba Basra. Well, there's a Mishnah there on Daf Kaf Gimel, and the Mishnah there says, "Machikin es hashubach minoyer chamishin amo." If a person wants to operate a dovecot, and this is done as a commercial exercise, it should really be distanced from the town by 50 cubits. Below yas adam shubach b'sok shalom, and a person may not make a dovecot inside his own premises, inside his residential house, unless there is a clear distance of 50 cubits in all directions. So Rabbi Yehuda says, based Abar Kurin, he says the distance should really be more than that. Abar Kurin, which is about 150 square cubits, which is as much as a bird would normally fly at a time. However, if one then purchased something which already had some sort of chazokah, but if it's smaller than that, which is called the Beis Rova, that is okay if it had already been established. If we then go down the page, near the bottom, you see two dots, four lines from the bottom, Hariyu Becheskoso, asks the Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, did not Rav Nachman say, Omar Rav in the name Rav Babu, or Ein Chazokah in Nizokin? There is no such thing as a chazokah, an established use with Nizokin, with injury and harm to neighbours. Rav Meri Omar says, Rav Meri, the Kutra, that's talking about smoke. If there is an instance where somebody carries on commercial practices in his property and is causing such a heavy nuisance, such as causing smoke, then one never gets a chazokah. Chazokah means nobody can touch you anymore because of the effluxion of time, which is in fact 3 years. If you're doing something for 3 years in your property and nobody complains about it, nobody says anything about it, or, says the Rambam, we will do this in a moment, people actually admit to it, the neighbours, then you get a chazokah. Then you're entitled to carry on that way. Rav Zavid Omar carries on the Gemara. Rav Zavid says, Beveit HaKisei. Beveit HaKisei is a WC of the type which they used to have, which was outdoors, and it caused smells which were a nuisance to the neighbour. On that there is no such thing as a chazokah. So that's not a commercial activity, but it's something which caused a smell to the neighbour. That is a nuisance, and that never ever attains a chazokah. Which means that if a person has done this for many, many years, one can still object to it, and one can still stop it. I did not include another Mishnah in Baba Basra, which I'd just like to briefly refer to. There is another Mishnah on Kaf Amud Beis, which talks about a shop, Chanuch. person operates a shop in his premises. For example, you imagine a block of flats or the houses are around a central courtyard called a mavoi, and one person is operating a shop. So what happens? People are coming and going. He says to him, I cannot sleep from the sound of people coming and going. But there is something, if a person wants to operate a business inside his premises, where he's using certain kinds of machinery, there the Mishnah says he is allowed to. He is allowed to operate in his premises, but the Rivash does a tshuva on this to say that if a person complains that his wife is, for example, unwell, or she's an iskinis, or person cannot sleep as a result of it, then that also can be a stop. But there is a balance struck there, where there is a recognition that people have to have a parnosa and they want to earn a livelihood. So we're going to ask ourselves, where does this balance get struck? Between the need for persons to earn a living, and if one is causing a nuisance to one's neighbour. So if we turn over the page, and we come to the Rambam. The second page of your handout, the Rambam says in Hilchas Shechinim, in the 11th Perek, Nisha Osa Goen B'Tech Shiloh. This brings forward our first Mishnah. A person who carries out a Goen as a threshing floor inside his premises. O Kova Beis HaKisei, or he makes a new WC. O Melocha Sheyesh Bo Avak. Or if he does work which results in dust, the Ofor, Chiyotze Ben, etc. Those kinds of nuisances. Tzorich Lahauchik, one must distance oneself. Kedei Shiloh Yagia Ofor Areach Beis HaKisei, in order that the dust nuisance or the smell nuisance, it must be distanced sufficiently in order that it will not distance. So it's not here giving a measurement like we had in the Mishnah, remember. The Mishnah gave a distance measurement of 50 amos. Here the Rambam is saying, not a distance, it's simply as far as is necessary in order to remove that nuisance. And even if there's a wind which helps it, or he's working with this dust or with flax, or with chaff. Chaff is from winnowing, where it gets them flying in the air from the corn. Such as those things, when it reaches his neighbour, he must distance himself, in order that it does not reach and it does not disturb him. And even by an ordinary wind, because all these it's like firing an arrow as such. Now if you look further down the page, because there won't be enough time to go through everything, on Sif Dalet, Kol Harchokas Amuris Beprokim Shamala, all these things of Harchokas, where you have to distance yourself. Im Lo Hirchik, if he did not distance it, Veroach Chaveiro V'Shosak, let's say the neighbour saw it and said nothing, was quiet, Harizeh Mocha, that means that the neighbour has been moichel. He said, okay, I don't mind what you're doing. And then the neighbour can no longer retract on that. If the neighbour has then admitted, okay, I'm not saying anything, I don't want to fall out with my neighbours, I like to get on with my neighbours, whatever the reason, even if it's causing some sort of nuisance, if the person has been quietly admitting to it, he can't retract in order to make a distance. So now the Rambam gives examples. What does it mean when a person agrees to it as a neighbour? It's where you have actually witnessed that the neighbour has been moichel. Could go, for example, Shasai Imo, where a person helps him, like helps him schlepping goods in and out for that business. O Shomo Lo Lasos, or where he asked him something to do with it. O Shiro Shosa Batsada Velachoka, or she actually saw what was going on. The Shosak, where he was seen to watch things going on and he said nothing, or he carried on a conversation with him and he said nothing. Veloik Bidalza. And he never expressed any particular reservation about it. Zochot, then the person gets what's called an established use, a lawful use, which is wonderful because then a person can run his business. Shekol ha-machazik b'nezek zochabo, because a person who carries out such a nezek, he can be zochit, k'mo shebi'anim. V'me'edavar ma'morim, when does this apply? V'shehichzik b'she'an zochit. This is generally on various kinds of nuisances, except from four kinds. There are certain things which never get a chazok. Eilum in Perikzeh, Shein Oshon, smoke, Vareach Beis HaKisei, Poskim say this is not only a WC smell, but any noxious sort of fumes, but Avak and dust, the Chiyotzeh, both similar to that, the Nidmuz HaKarka, and vibration. Can you imagine next door to you in the next flat behind your party wall, there's somebody operating a commercial sewing machine, which is running at all times of day and night? That is the nidnud hakaka, that's vibration, not just noise. Shekolech on elu eino chazoka. On all these things you never get a chazoka. Afilu shosaka nizik. Even if the person kept quiet, kamoshonim, some years, harizeh, chozev, kofor, la'achik, one can still go and stop him. V'chein hezek ri'iyah, and in the same way hezek ri'iyah, which is overlooking, so if a person knocks his wall in and puts in a window and looks straight into your kitchen or into your living room and causes overlooking and loss of privacy, but mokum shetzorech mechitza, in a place where the halacha would normally say you should have a division, one can force a mechitza any time commercial behind you. There is no such thing as a chazaka. Well, there is something in the Poskim about Kedima with Hefka land, and then a person does attain certain rights, and this is dealt with by Shumas and Chasam Sofer, where a person comes on a site first and makes his own building with all clear glass windows, and then there's another Hefka piece of land next to it where somebody comes along and builds, and then argues that the windows of the neighbour are looking into him. He's got no time and he can't do that because the other guy was there first. So there are Poskim right about this. But here we're talking about where you've got an established neighbourhood with two houses next to each other, and somebody then breaks that impasse and starts something new by creating overlooking. So, we said, V'loma shinu nizokim eilu, why are these exceptions made, Mishan nizokim, if you sh'ein data shalom serveles? Because a person, we assume, never has this attitude of putting up with this kind of nezek me'elu. V'chas kosa sh'einu mochel shizuka hezek kavua. It's his chazaka that he is not ever mochel, forgiving. The economy other, but if they make a deal with each other, they negotiate, he says, look, you know, okay, you give me £5,000 and then you'll keep quiet, then that is okay. The economy other shemochel ben izokim elo niyochel lachzabah. And this is brought down to the Shulchan Aruch, that if an agreement and negotiation is made between neighbours of a payment, where one is actually acquiring a right from one's neighbours by buying them off, as it were, then one gets a chazaka, and even if one then sells one's property, that chazaka remains. Because there are teshuvas which say that a chazaka only applies to a person and not to the land. That is to say, if you operate a sewing machine business in your house, and you, for some reason you get a chazaka, then when you move out, you can't sell it with that chazaka. It starts all over again with a new occupier. That's the difference in English law, which is a very big fallacy in English law, that you can, once you've got lawful use rights, you can sell it on, and then the new occupier might intensify and make it worse. That's just one example. So that in a nutshell is the way the Rambam approaches nuisances with neighbours, and these problems do exist a lot nowadays between Jewish neighbours and even Jewish and non-Jewish neighbours where the shilas come up. And I've been involved in certain instances where a din Torah has come before a Bez Din, where somebody, for example, has built something where he even got planning permission to build, or where the council officers wanted to refuse something, but the fellow went to the politicians, councillors, and argued his case, and they said okay. So there was a case where the council granted planning permission for a very large development. It started coming up, and the neighbours thought, "Gevalt, what's going on here?" They never even had letters about it. And they saw big windows looking into their own windows, overlooking them. And they said, what did they do? They went to the Bezdin, and there was one very big case which came before the Federation Bezdin about 4 years ago. And the Bezdin actually made a ruling on amendments to be made, where they made the builder cut down on what he was doing to stop the overlooking and to stop the bulk and overshadowing to some extent. But it was more of a compromise than doing away with the whole thing. But they managed to settle a dispute which the local authority were unable to settle. Imagine the Kiddush Hashem for the goyim to see that the Jewish Beis Din was able to achieve a solution to a problem which they themselves were unable to achieve. This was amazing. There's another Gemara in Bava Basra, which is just a bit earlier than the one we quoted, which talks about Rabbi Yosef from Pumpadisa, who was blind, and he had fruit trees in his garden. And the neighbour next door started a trade which involved the processing of blood, of all things. And that was attracting the ravens to fly in towards that area because the smell attracted them. And these ravens were making a lot of chirping noises. And they were also going on to the apple trees of Rabbi Yosef, where they were depositing some of the blood which they had picked up. And Rabbi Yosef, in the Gemara, actually said this expression to the Beis Din, get rid of these croakers for me, get rid of these croaking birds, I can't stand it anymore. And that was ruled that the fellow had to stop his business next door, even though the person was not actually suffering from the blood processing itself. And the fact that the birds were attracted to it because of the smell, and those birds were causing a nuisance, and the chirping of those birds, which was affecting his wife, who was an Istinist, they said, stop. Well, that's the amazing chiddush about the story that the Gemara brings, that it's a bit more like a groma, because it's not a direct thing from the business itself, but it was caused by it, and nevertheless, he was told that he had to stop his business. Because I think it is a bit more than a Gemara, it's more like a psik ratio, that it was a direct consequence. But the psak was that they had to stop the business. So when it comes to noise, though, if you are operating some sort of noise in your flat or house, which is not a vibration noise, and it's not an overwhelming noise, and it's not at night time when you're sleeping, then one can get a chazoka. And that's where the balance is struck in the halacha between the person needing to run a business and where one wants to protect the neighbours. However, if there is a noise in daytime and a person goes to the Beis Din and says, look, I do sleep in the daytime, or my wife sleeps in the daytime, and I can't sleep from the banging of a hammer, then one can put a stop to that business. And so the Rishonim bring down, there's a tshuva of the Rashba, and there's a tshuva of the Rosh, even where parnasa is involved, it's no good. You can't do it if it's at the expense of your neighbour. And to give you a few examples of the tshuvas, because there are many tshuvas amongst Rishonim and Acharonim, there's Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, who speaks about a dye works which was carried out in a person's home producing smelly fumes. And Reuven asked his neighbour to stop the work on the grounds that the fumes were unpleasant. He couldn't hang out his washing to dry, he said. And it was a residential area. Shimon said that he had been operating this dye works from his home for many years before Reuven even moved next door, before this neighbour came along. And so therefore Reuven had bought his house from Levi, and Levi had never objected to this use. So Rabbi Avraham ben Avraham says, this is the type of use to which one may object, even if one had given an earlier consent. And Levi's concession, the previous neighbour, did not count. It can't override Reuven's objection, and Shimon must close down his business.
Does it matter what the level of noise or level of nuisance it is? In other words, when somebody says there's a noise, it's so minimal. I mean, you'll complain and say, you know, that my neighbour's making a noise. But in actual fact, the noise is so minimal, it's just exaggerating the nuisance value of the noise.
There seems to be a difference if it's a residential noise or if it's a commercial noise. If it's within the normal manner of your living, like, you know, you've got the hi-fi stereo on, or you've got a cousin who lives next door to you who's practicing. The halacha, I'll bring you another example from the tshuvas of the Rashba, which say when it's residential, you can't make any claims. But when it's commercial, if you can establish that you are an istinist, that you or your wife is delicate, then you do have a timer. But in the normal pattern of events, the Beis Din would allow it to happen. If a chazoka is achieved over 3 years. If it's within less than 3 years, and a person complains, then a person can stop it. Then it's commercial. Yes?
If there's no chazoka.
If there's no chazoka. No, but one can get a chazoka with Ra'ash as such, if 3 years go by and there's no complaint.
If you complain immediately.
If you complain immediately, then a Beis Din can stop it.
Yes.
If it's commercial, I'll give you an example. The tshuvas of the Rashba, which is talking about cooking, and it was domestic cooking. So Reuven's chimney was bellowing smoke. And Shimon So Shimon, well, this was a case where the Shimon, the neighbor, died. It doesn't say whether it was from the smoke, but his children erected an extension to the roof where they built on top an extra story to the house with new windows. So as a result of that, it became adjacent to the chimney next door, whereas beforehand the chimney was above all the windows. Shimon's children then demand that the emission of smoke should cease. So the Rashba wrote in his Tshuvas Chelek Beis Simon Mem Hei that when Reuven's chimney was erected, it was not made to cause any harm. They brought the harm on themselves by erecting a new story, and if it would have been industrial smoke, he says, it could be stopped, if it would be commercial smoke. But since this was just domestic cooking, it was okay, and there was no liability.
I find that 3 years is considered because I've been up 2 years or 5 years.
Pardon? Yeah, 3 years is what's given here. It's interesting that in English law, for this kind of thing, it's now 10 years. But there are certain loopholes in English law, which I'll come to in a moment. There was a case in the Rashba as well, in Chelek Gimel Kufsam and Beis, someone who conceded in writing that a use next door which was producing smoke and smell may continue, but then after some time he changed his mind and he wanted the use to cease. So the tshuva was given that if the offending use began after the signed agreement was made, let's say the person signed and then the use started, so that when he signed he didn't really know for sure how harmful it would be, then the agreement can be revoked, because he couldn't anticipate in advance how much of a nuisance it would be. But if the nuisance began beforehand and then he signed an agreement and there was no change, the agreement stands. So there is that balance struck of fairness, that if a person negotiated with a neighbour and they signed, or he paid something or other, and this was after the nuisance started, he was well aware of what he was letting himself in for, then the fellow can carry on. That's in the Shadas Shuvas of the Rivash, and the Shuvas of Marie Ben Lev also talks about that. But there are many Shuvas which come up, but there's a very interesting one which also comes up in the Rashba in Chelek Dalet, where Shimon he installs an external WC in his garden, and Reuven claims it smells and asks for it to be moved. And the neighbour is not Jewish. The neighbour who is objecting is not Jewish. Shimon installs the WC. The neighbour next door is not Jewish. And it's common practice, argues Shimon, for non-Jewish people to install their WCs in this manner in that town. And furthermore, the previous occupier of Shimon's house was not Jewish. So he could have installed it legitimately under the local authority regulations. And the Rashba said that a non-Jewish law cannot override a Jewish law. Shimon must move that WC. His neighbour is not Jewish, and he may not cause nuisance to the Goy neighbour. And Jewish law is applied in the way that you live with your non-Jewish neighbour if the Jewish law is more stringent than you have to apply the Jewish law. Which is an amazing chiddush from the Rashba. So we see how Chazal had such an insight into the ways nuisances are that it comes down all the way to the present day. There was a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein about smoking in the Beit HaMedrash. It's a nuisance. It causes smoke to others. He says it's not allowed if people are bothered by it, apart from what we discussed in our last tshuva about the hazard. There is a tshuva of Tzitz Eliezer, a couple of tshuvas, Rav Waldenberg, about in the more recent years in Israel, where somebody wanted to open up a doctor's surgery inside a block of flats, and it was causing a nuisance to neighbours by people coming and going. And he ruled that because a surgery can be of life-saving aspect, and you quoted another source, there is a rule in the Rambam that if you open up a cheder to teach children Torah in a flat or with a courtyard, so you've got people coming and going for the cheder, and it's causing a nuisance to neighbours, the neighbours cannot stop it. We are a theocracy, we live for the Torah, and if Talmud Torah is taking place for children, we have to be prepared to make sacrifices for it. And the halacha is, you cannot stop the activity taking place. Obviously you can negotiate with the person who's running it about the times and so on to try and alleviate any harm, but me'ikah hadin, you cannot stop Talmud Torah going on, so that if a new school opens up next door to you and it's teaching Torah, you will have problems in putting a stop to it. It doesn't say it by Beis HaKnesses. It says it by Talmud Torah. which might imply that when it comes to davening, that one may be able to stop it. But I haven't found a tshuva on that yet. But the question of a doctor's surgery was, Rav Waldenberg says you can't put a stop to it. But there's another tshuva which talks about a dentist's surgery, which was ruled one can put a stop to it. Dental surgery is seen much more as a preventative kind of place for cure, and therefore there was a case in Ashdod where it was ruled that the people who are going to the dentist generally are not yet sick, there are other surgeries available, it's not life-threatening, and that a person should therefore go to the local authority first and get it regularized. So again, you see there a sort of balance going on. Well, in a country such as England, the base thing can't enforce, although there is the Arbitration Act, and that I was once in a Vintora where I signed something which was in accordance with the Arbitration Act of this country, which meant that the decision of the Beis Din was enforceable in law in this country. But there is generally the problem.
No.
I thought the county court could enforce the Beis Din decision.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Under the Arbitration Act, if a decision is made by a Beis Din and those sides have signed an agreement to conform to the Arbitration Act, then it can be enforced by the county court. To give you a few examples then of the problems which could arise in the modern day and the remedies that you had. For example, we started talking about Hezekiah overlooking. If you build an extension and you build side windows in it which look directly into your neighbour's property, an extension is normally subject to planning permission, and a council can refuse planning permission for overlooking. It is a valid reason of refusal. However, there is a provision under what's called the General Permitted Development Order, which says that you are allowed to build on a dwelling house a certain amount without planning permission. It's what the British spirit of compromise has developed over the years, that we'll let you do something without permission. Okay, but under the building regulations, if you have a window, spread a fire. Okay, but overlooking doesn't come under building regulations. Yeah, okay, fair enough. If you have an extension and you put in a side window and it's been cleared under the building regulations, under fire regulations, under the structure and so on, and you have a window and you haven't got so much windows that your thermal, whatever it's called, your U values are breached, then you're overlooking and it's permitted development, and the attitude of the council is we can't do anything about it because that's the law of the land. The permitted development order is that you're allowed to build a certain amount without planning permission, up to 70 cubic metres per 70 detached house. That's it. Can't do anything about it. And it's overlooking. However, the halacha is, it's causing a nuisance. You can go to a Beis Din and you can put a stop to it. So that the English mentality of, if it's something small, it can't be harmful. If it's something big, it might be harmful. That's not the way Jewish law works. It might be something small, but it can still cause harm.
In such a case,
the non-Jewish neighbour built without planning permission, and it was a permitted development. As a Jewish, and then he told a Jewish person, can you then tell the person to lock up the window? That's an interesting one. I think you probably could. Yes, because there's no chazaka in Hezekiah, as the Rambam says, and therefore if a person buys the property and claims it's always been there, then you can still claim against him for Hezekiah. Yes. So, kachon yosdaiti, you know, everything I'm saying is halacha v'lo lemaaseh. You've got to go with your individual queries to the Rav. Another interesting aspect of English law is something which is called the use classes order. The use classes order is that you can do certain changes of use without permission. If you're one kind of shop, you can change to another kind of shop. If you're a light industrial unit and you're a printer, right, then you can change to a bakery, which is also a light industrial activity. If you are repairing cars, okay, you can change to other kinds of general industrial. If you're within the same use class, you've probably heard of B1 or D1 or D2, we won't go into all that now. In halacha, if you change from one use to another use, it might result in a nuisance being caused which did not exist beforehand. For example, you might, for example, be giving rise to smoke from an industrial use which didn't exist in the previous use. So in English law, it's within the use class's order. They can't touch you. The previous use was industrial, the new use is industrial. Now it's causing smoke. All right, they might get the environmental health officers down to put some sort of restriction on it. But the fellow can claim, look, this is an industrial area, whatever it is. He gets away with it. In halacha, it's not like that. If a new use starts, and a person starts causing smoke, irrespective of the fact that there was an industrial use beforehand, then one can put a stop to it. It's unfair. And he's got mail order vans coming and going, and these mail order vans are causing a lot of nuisance. It's an intensification of use. In English law, you can't do anything about it. There are, in fact, court decisions in this country which specify that an intensification is not a material change of use. In halacha, you go straight to the Beis Din and you can put a stop to it. So if looking at it now from the other point of view, let's say I want to run a business. If I want to run a business from my home because I haven't got the overheads, I don't want the overheads to start going into big industrial premises. So I start off from home, and some of the biggest well-known brands, industrial names, started off from the private houses. In Birmingham, there was lots of the jewellery industry, and the Steinway piano started off from a living room. If one wants to start a business from one's living room, one needs to establish oneself before one can then move out and take bigger risks. So what does the halacha say to you? The halacha says to you, right, if you don't cause a nuisance to your neighbours, you will get a chazaka. And if you get a chazaka, then you've got that comfort that you can go to the bank and get loans and run your business without the worry and fear about your neighbours, if you get that chazaka after 3 years. So there the balance is struck. But if it's something which is such a big nuisance, you won't get a chazaka at all. If it's a small nuisance, you get the chazaka, and you don't have to worry after 3 years that neighbours will start on you. Whereas, in English law, it doesn't quite work that way. Well, now there is a 10-year rule, but the intensification rules also slog the whole thing up and upset it. It makes it much more complicated. There is another aspect, and that's this. In English law, the third party has very limited power. If you get consulted on a planning application, you will write in as a third party, your views will be taken into account. They might or they might not get their permission. If it carries on, you might be able to object to it in some way, but your power is very limited. In Jewish law, you as a third party have a right, much stronger than you would in English law. In Australia, they have a rule that third parties can appeal against a grant of a permission to your neighbour. There's no such law in this country. There might be judicial review, but there's no real rights for third parties. So whereas the halacha does say that as a third party, you could put a stop to a nuisance which is coming about in your neighbour's house, and in many of those instances you will have no remedy for it in Jewish law. And therefore I find it remarkable that whereas the British might claim that in the modern day and age they are so advanced, we've discovered in our short discussion these loopholes which do not exist at all in the halacha.
You mentioned something about the person, the resident, can object to almost anything, however unreasonable. If someone sets a business causes very little disturbance to his neighbours, the neighbours can object to it.
They can, but if it's an unreasonable objection, because let's say they're doing it out of spite and it's not for the fact that it's really causing a nuisance, there is the possibility for the Beis Din to make a ruling that that use may continue.
Absolutely.
Because if the Beis Din look into it and decide that it's not causing a nuisance, and even, alright, if they're a nisdanis, then they can stop the use. But if the Beis Din decides that there is no fundamental ground for such a claim, they can still rule that that use may continue. So there is that provision which protects the initiating
party. You have to make to the Beis Din, you just have to make the claim to the neighbour. You have to actually register to the Beis Din. How do you know whether something's made?
Well, initially you can approach the neighbour and say, look, I'm asking you to stop. And the neighbour then is bound to listen to you in accordance with the principles we've discussed. If the neighbour says, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to, then you can say, well, in that case, we have to go to the Beis Din. can say is, we say in the Aleinu prayer, the Sakei no lomba malchus shakai, the cholbenei bosi kruvish mechon. If we can repair the world, as it were, the Sakei no lomba malchus shakai, if peoples of the world would realize what is in Jewish law, which doesn't have the loopholes that you've got in the secular laws, and they will then appreciate the Jewish laws, then the chol b'nei boso yikruvish mecho, all the peoples of the world would hearken to Hashem's voice and recognize that Torah is emes. We're not quite at that stage yet, and hopefully we will get to that day speedily in our times. But when we say this davening, the sakei no lomba malchus shakai, we should realize that it's not only from the halachas of Bein Odom L'Mokom, Shabbos and Kashrus, Tamis Mishpacha, and all these wonderful laws which we're doing to make a closeness between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also when it comes to what might be regarded as mundane laws or civil laws, which are mainly governed in this country by laws of the land, we should know that the Torah there also has a very major part to play, and not only has a major part to play, but overcomes those problems which you engage in the English law. And that's why we can appreciate the beauty of Torah in our daily lives, also with Bein Odom and Chaverim, as well as Bein Odom and Mokim. Thank you very much.